Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are talking about Shang-Chi, all the feedback we've been getting, and what are my thoughts, because, you know, we hadn't had a Matt's Corner, and I am excited to talk about Shang-Chi. All that right off the bat, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, you guys talked about Shang-Chi without me.
I know. You were very busy doing work for all of us, doing God's work down at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I was covering Dragon Con as a reporter for the network, which was super fun. They gave us press credentials, and we got to go in. Unfortunately, because of COVID, I didn't get to actually talk to the stars, but I'm excited to do this because next year maybe we'll get to do it again and really get to dig in and see some, I don't know, interview some people and stuff. That'd be super cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Super, super cool. So thanks for carrying the torch for me last week.
Well, of course. Well, I'm sure you have so much that you want to tell us about what you thought about this film.
Man, yeah, let's see Matt's Corner. Here we go. Matt's Corner on Shang-Chi. I loved it. I think it's super fun. The biggest takeaway for me was the just absolutely amazing fight sequences.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Particularly in the first half. I liked the stuff toward the end, but I feel like it became a little more traditional Marvel, punchy, punchy, zoom superhero stuff. And those fights on the bus and the fight on the scaffolding.
Beautiful.
They're just classic fights in my mind. They're
Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Very.
Absolutely Jackie Chan. And very, very Jackie Chan specifically, the way he uses the environment, the way he's grabbing different things from the environment and the way Jackie Chan tends to panic at certain moments and stuff. I don't know, Shang-Chi, it just had a lot of personality to the fights in the way that Jackie Chan does, really reminded me of a spiritual successor to whatever, Rumble in the Bronx and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those old Jackie Chan when he first was breaking into the American market, love that stuff. And this was really, 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 really freaking good.
I concur.
A few things. You guys were talking about tradition and how this movie is about tradition and how it respected tradition so much. But something I kind of took something different away.
That was definitely Zoo and Jeff, because when they were talking about that, I was like, I guess so. I guess because I don't have family traditions like that. Right. Zoo really went in on his stuff. I was like, I guess that didn't stick out to me as much. So I'm super interested in what you're going to say.
Well, I think this movie honored the tradition. But what I loved about it was it found this balance. And there's a moment toward the very end. And the father is so about Shang-Chi taking over the mantle. You know, he's like, take over the mantle. You know, you can use the Ten Rings and you can be my successor and come work for me. And he's very much kind of forcing it down his throat to be his successor, which to me is often what happens in these kinds of movies. And often the result is the younger generation throwing off the sort of chains of tradition. And I do think that this movie threaded the needle better than that. I don't think that it threw it off, but there's a beautiful line from the mother right toward the end when he's fighting the dragon. I think actually there's a flashback and he thinks about his mother telling him something. He's like, take everything that I am, everything that we are, take everything that your ancestors are, and take it with you and go be you with it. Use us as a foundation and as use us as the power that we give you. Use us as a resource, but we're not trying to control who you are. So it sort of threaded this needle between how non-toxic tradition works. You pass down your traditions, but you're not so toxic about them that you force them on anyone. You be you, but here's all this stuff we like to offer you. Here's this closet full of things that we have to give you as your family, as your ancestors. And I thought Shang-Chi did a really good job of threading that needle.
Yeah.
I had a really emotional reaction to, this is going to get, dicey. I had a really emotional reaction to, the father and son dynamic of Shang-Chi with his father, because my father just died, in January of COVID because he didn't take it seriously. He just didn't. And since then I've been dealing with the fallout of his death and my family, my mom and my niece and all this stuff that having to really pick up a lot of the slack that's kind of left this like hole in our family. And there's a moment where Shang-Chi is just fighting his father physically, but he's saying, stop, don't open this door. We need, your family needs you. Like you've been abandoning us for all this time. You've not been taking care of like your family, and like your family needs you. Please just, you know, it just really, really tough.
Yeah.
That hit me really hard in the theater. Because yeah, like I just feel that like my dad let COVID, didn't take it seriously and let it kill him, and wouldn't go to the doctor. And it's just like, your family needs you. And it's just selfish as hell, you know, like to make that decision. And his father in the end tries to take that turn to be with his son and help his son in the end and like give him the rings, it seemed like, but it's just too late for him, you know. Then his father's gone and can't be there for his family. And so that hit me hard.
Sure.
As for stuff that was like really, why is Banner with no explanation? No explanation at all. Why is Banner Banner?
Maybe he had to get some kind of surgery. Maybe how did he figure out how to like do it? And why did he look so grizzled? Like,
yeah,
he looked old.
Well, he looked old, and I mean, it's been 5 years. We haven't seen him as Banner. You know, maybe Banner has aged in the time he's been inside of Hulk all that time. I don't know.
Maybe using the stones took a lot more out of him than we know.
Right. Sure. Yeah. And I guess it just alludes to the fact that Banner has the ability to go back and forth, which is, I don't know, that's big news. So that's kind of interesting.
Or I think Jeff had said it, maybe he had to give a certain cousin a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard Jeff say that. I love that theory. Mm-hmm. I love that theory too, because like we already have Wong leaving Spider-Man No Way Home to go to what we're assuming is another cage fight. Or what if it's the same money. One? What if we see Wong come back a little later and Abomination is with him? You know what I mean? Like, that would be so much fun.
On our side, I'd love it.
Well, that's another thing that I want to talk about. The relationship between Wong and Abomination. Like, they did not seem like they were antagonists to one another at all.
No, they were money buds. They're like, you know, this is what we got to do to make money. Fight circles.
I freaking love it. You guys touched on that a good bit in the episode, but I just thought that was super fun. Like, we'd kind of teased it like that. Yeah, Wong, you know, we know Wong's kind of poor. He can't ever buy his own sandwiches. And now, like, Doctor Strange was gone for 5 years and he started fighting. Like, that's so weird and fun, and like seems antithetical to the ideas we have of like the monk on the hill who's the sorcerer supreme, guardian of the universe, but he just has to go fight for money sometimes. And it's just, I don't know. It's Colleen Wing too. Like, remind me of Colleen Wing.
This is how backwards the world is during all of this. What people have to do to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, and how will that change Wong? Like, you know, Wong seems to have a very purist view of the world when it comes to, like, the sorcerers and, like, what they should, who they should be and how Doctor Strange should be and all this stuff. But, like, how will he change if he's sort of, like, getting to know the world from a different angle, I guess?
I guess he wasn't, like, as stuck on it as Mordo was. He was a little bit more accepting of the things that were happening that the Dark, that the Ancient One was doing.
For sure, yeah.
But yeah, I guess it is in his character to find somebody that he can work a deal with, that they're not actually fighting, but can put on a good show to make money. Cause we don't know if he's in there like crushing skulls.
Yeah. Well, that's the question. Are they actually even fighting at all? That's a good question. Cause most of the time when you have a fight like that, you both get paid. Just one of you gets paid more for winning.
Well, if you're in on the team, you split.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that works. And I want to know more.
It was cute.
It was super cute. And like, we talked a lot about it from the trailer. Like, oh my gosh, what in the world? Wong and Abomination are fighting. I can't think of two different characters from two different corners of the Marvel Universe and why they would be in the ring together. I just can't even imagine. And then to find out, not only were they in the ring together, but they're friends and they like left together. They like got in the same Uber sling ring or whatever. That's the fifth option. There's like UberX and Uber.
Waterfall Angel says Kara with long hair again. And it is funny because I did see a lot of people freaking out about her having long hair. But it's like, yeah, like hair grows. And we use the hair to judge how long it's been. So from it to go from that short to like here would probably be about 2 to 3 years.
All right. Well, that, that's great
information. I would say that that's like a 2 to 3 year.
I love it. I love that you have sort of trained, and not that nobody would have noticed it before, but like you've sort of trained the audience to look for the different hairstyles.
Look for the hair lengths.
And how how they will work. It's still a decision. Like it's a costuming decision for them to decide that Carol's going to be long haired now. Cause clearly they could have continued to cut her hair
and
short.
It was like collarish bone.
Right.
So, and yeah, that, so you, from going from like a mohawk to that, you would think would take 2, 3. It depends on how healthy her hair is and how much, you know, vitamins she's taking, but I would say 3 years.
All right. Cool. I dig it. Well, the main reason we're here today is to talk about the feedback that has come in, which we got a substantial amount. We're going to get through as much as we can here. You want to take this first one?
Sure. I got this. Okay. 084 on Patreon says, as an Asian American, I can't tell you how happy I am to have gotten to see some authentic representation on the big screen in this universe I've loved so much. Shang-Chi was exciting, funny, inspiring, and even heartbreaking. I was very impressed with how sympathetic the villain was and his villainous characteristics being psychological. Wen Wu was a bad man who found love and genuinely changed his stripes, but unfortunately he let his capacity for good depend entirely on one person. And when that one person went away, he didn't believe he could be a good man, so he wasn't. My favorite scene might have been the confrontation between him and Shang-Chi at Ying Li's shrine and then outside of it. Their words hit each other just as hard as their combat, and both were expertly written and choreographed. Before I ramble on too long about everything else I loved about the movie, I'll end with a question. Do you think Wong let Shang-Chi keep the 10 rings, and do you want him to use them going forward? I know his 616 counterpart relies mainly on hand-to-hand combat, so I'd be curious to see if he uses these world-conquering weapons in the MCU and how he matches up power-wise to the other Avengers because of them. Until next time, 084.
That's interesting. Thank you, 084. Loved all the stuff you're saying about how beautiful this movie is. It really is beautiful and well done. I did not know that in the 616, I guess I kind of knew that because I knew that the Mandarin in comics is the one who has the 10 rings. So
I don't know much about Shang-Chi.
Yeah, I don't know much about Shang-Chi, but I guess I didn't even think about the fact that, these weapons aren't his primary weapon in the comics. So, like, is that going to be going forward? I bet we'll see him use them again, but whatever this storyline is they're telling with the beacon, I bet you're right. They might be taken away through the course of those events, you know?
Yeah.
It's very possible.
That is it's a good point. I hope not. That would be very Iron Fist-y of them to do.
Yeah, well, let's not get too mean too quickly. Just kidding.
Don't you just talk bad about the anime.
The thing is, my favorite parts of this movie are before he gets the rings. Because I do think that it's a better... The action sequences are just so freaking good and so much fun when he doesn't have the power to fly. And I just felt scared for him at every moment of that, you know, scared for him and everyone around him. And that's what makes a great action sequence. You really have the suspense that someone might get hurt. And I just thought that was freaking amazing. So I guess I wouldn't mind if he loses them. I like the idea of having another superpowered guy. And I guess he wouldn't be a superpowered guy without him. But who knows? Maybe he'll get some other superpowers some other way.
Yeah, I'm really shallow and I really like seeing the rings in action. So I hope he gets to keep them because they were just so awesome. And I want him to keep them and really figure out how to use them.
Nice. We should put like $5 on it. That after Shang-Chi's next main appearance, like when we find, when we find out what this beacon storyline is, after that, whatever that storyline wraps up, will he have the rings or not? Not that I really like have a stake in thinking one way or the other, but I kind of want the one way to happen. You know,
I don't think the Eternals are going to take it from them.
Yeah,
I think the Beacon is.
That's what Jeff thinks. Jeff thinks that the Beacon has something to do with Eternals. I think Celestials is more likely, like, which is kind of the same thing.
It might be an evil Celestial,
right? Which the Celestials, you know, clearly are very involved in the Eternals. I do think that the Eternals are here to introduce the Celestials in a way, because I think they might be the next big Marvel overarching story. Is like some Celestial is coming to do some crazy thing. And we got to stop them.
Well, that's what I was saying. They're ramping up all these very high-powered characters to do something.
Right. And I'm thinking...
to stop somebody.
Fight off a Celestial that, like... I'm really interested in all those conversations about what a Celestial is and if they created the humans, like, what... or how much they were involved in creating all these characters that we know, and... I don't know.
We needed to do a deep dive.
Yeah, I don't know if they created humanity. They, like...
assisted silently, yeah,
something like that. They split off humanity and like made Eternals and Deviants and all these other creatures, and I don't even know, and somehow the X gene is involved and all that stuff. So
so much.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit in the past. We've done a deep dive on one of the runs of the comics for the patrons, if anybody wants to go check that out. But yeah, anyway. Okay, Winston Gordon is a patron. He says, hello, pandas. Shang-Chi was so good. So good. Two thoughts. One, part of me wishes Awkwafina was not just a person named Katie, but was actually Kate Bishop. I thought the same thing in the theater. When
me
she,
right? too, Winston. Me too.
I thought the same thing. Yeah, totally.
I wish it too, because Haley, it's just going to be great.
You're not excited about Haley. Is it Haley Steinfeld?
Steinfeld.
I don't know any of her stuff, but the trailer, I liked her. I don't know. That's all I got so far. So I like her in the trailer.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay. He says, but was actually Kate Bishop, and we got her in Hawkeye. Though, I'm sure Haley will be great.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Number two. Is Xia Ling actually going to be a villain, or just a person that does bad things? Is there a difference? ? That's a great question. That's a question for the ages right there. I think if she is a villain going forward, then she was always a villain. So how will that jive with Shang-Chi?
I think she got really good at running the underworld, like, fight ring thing that she had going on. So I feel like she just knows kind of like how the power broker, like how Sharon just kind of knew how to work with what she could. And now she just has this platform pretty much handed up to her, and it, you know, what we don't know that what she's going to do from there on out is villainous or not, but I support her.
I support her. Yeah,
I like her.
I also support I support strong women, you know. I support her, and like I think this is an interesting like question. And I don't think it's one that's important necessarily. The idea of villains is so passe. Like, the whole thing we always say is we don't want a mustache twirly villain. Well, that's what of, when you say villain, that's really what you're getting at. It's like, they're just the bad guy. But what I love about the MCU in general is very, very few of those. They're mostly these people that just make decisions that you wouldn't agree with, and there's a reason to fight them, but they're not necessarily, you know, not understandable. Like, you can see from their point of view what they're doing is right. You know what I mean? And in this, the other thing is, like, he says that it wouldn't line up with Shang-Chi if she's the villain going forward, but like, or how would it line up with Shang-Chi? She didn't really make any good decisions in this one. She basically just fought for her own survival in this one. Like, she did make the decision to save Katie and come back for Shang-Chi. She saved her brother. So, like, she cares about her brother and cares about his brother's friend. But other than that, like, most of the rest of the movie is just her sort of fighting for her and her friend's survival.
She doesn't know the world anything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. She really doesn't seem to care. She's not, like, out to save the world. Whereas Shang-Chi is there to save this village. And I do think that she wants to save that village too, but so does Razor Fist. But I'm pretty sure Razor Fist was a villain up until that moment, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy was just trying to save his own skin.
Yeah. He's like, this is the best way to get out of this situation. Let's do that. and so they go for it.
That's funny. Okay. Charles Horton on Patreon says, Shang-Chi feedback. First, I want to say I loved it. One of my top five Marvel films. Ooh. I love the continuity of the guy on the bus that was filming. I thought the movie was beautiful and moving and magical. One thoughts after all the feedback I've consumed so far is, how do we know the Bruce we saw is the same Bruce from the main timeline? Could the new branches caused in Loki create a new outcome from what we saw in the main MCU timeline? Unless we get another explanation of why Bruce is able to revert from Professor Hulk back to Bruce, why do we think it might have been a side effect from the multiverse? Not saying he is a variant, but I think there was a ripple effect and the main MCU timeline is no longer what it was. I hope this makes sense and I can't wait to see what the Eternals and Spider-Man bring to the MCU timeline. Also, I love you guys. 14,605 futures.
Thank you, Charles.
I guess we can use his arm as part of the timeline.
Yeah. Like, he definitely snapped. His arm is there. He definitely snapped. So, he definitely was Professor Hulk for that moment.
Yeah. So, we have to be after that for him to have the thing.
There is the possibility that they would make Shang-Chi and they would make Eternals. And those could be in alternate universes. But the idea...
It's too much.
Right. I agree with you. The idea that Charles is asserting here is that, like, this universe is the same as the MCU timeline, except there might be some small differences. But the idea, the way we understand it, at least it's from the way I understand it, is if there are small differences, it is a different universe. Like, so this could have been a branch timeline, but I don't see why they would do that. I think there are easier explanations than this being a completely different timeline. Unless we get, you know, like you said, like I said, in Eternals, we get more connections to this and there are other small differences. Like, what if we're watching the Eternals and Wong zips in and says, hello, I'm here because I sense this energy and it's similar to this energy I'm studying. And then behind him, like, Tony Stark walks in the room.
Oh.
And you're just like, what is going on? It's like, oh, and this is, and then we start going, like, piecing it together that this could just be a completely different universe. And now our universe is the, like, what if we watch four or five movies in a row and then realize, oh, these have all been in an alternate universe.
I'll be so annoyed. I'm not going to lie. I'll be so annoyed.
Yeah. I could see being annoyed, but also, I don't know. Like, if they cross it over correctly, I guess I wouldn't mind.
As long as it brings me Michael Fassbender, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew you'd feel that way.
I'm on board. Choo choo.
Or yeah. What about that? Like, Wong walks in and he's like, yeah, he brings his cage fighting friend with him and it's Wolverine or something.
You know? I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
Come on, Wolverine.
Come on,
you see that new Wolverine video game?
I definitely saw the new trailer.
Oh my god.
I have never been so upset as when I watched the end of that trailer and I was like, oh my gosh, I am so excited. And it said 2023. I was like, no, it's so long away.
2023. Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
Actually, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. They didn't give a date for that one, which means it's probably even further away. Because
2026
probably 2024 because the one I was thinking of that I was so upset about was the other trailer that dropped with the same presentation, which was the new Spider-Man trailer for the new Spider-Man video game where they're taking.
I did see that.
It was a super fun trailer. They've made two Spider-Man games so far. They made a Peter Parker Spider-Man game and then they made a Miles Morales Spider-Man game. And in the Peter Parker one, Miles Morales gets bit and becomes the Spider-Man. And then in the second one, Peter Parker has to go on a trip, like on vacation or something, and he leaves Miles Morales sort of in charge of the city.
Aww.
And so you get that. But in this one, it looks like they're going to be working together as like dual Spider-Men, and it looks like Venom is involved, and it looks like Kraven is involved too. Yeah. I'm pumped.
That's what'll be fun.
I'm pretty sure that's 2023. And I was like, no.
I'm going to be so cold by then. Just drop it now.
I won't have the eyesight or the hand-eye coordination at that point to enjoy those games.
I already
games.
Don't.
Yeah, I was trying to teach my niece how to swing as Spider-Man like a couple weeks ago. She has the Miles Morales Spider-Man. And I was like, you got to hit it and swing and jump and hit it and swing and jump. And she's like, I don't understand. Like, you're supposed to be younger than me. You're supposed to get this.
It's funny.
It was a pretty funny scene.
Video games, not my strong suit. Not at all. I hit the wall and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Alyssa's the same way. She always jokes about ever since they started three dimensions, like she's good with like 2D side scrolling, like platformers. But then once mm-hmm. they added three dimensions, she just ends up in a corner every time and like can't figure out how to aim the camera.
I'm like,
oh man. All right. Next up, we have Mark Lavecchio on Gmail says, hey y'all, I found you guys during Futwis and I wished I'd found you sooner. I love the podcast and the chemistry you all have. The first thing I think about after a new episode of Disney Plus shows or a movie is the MCU cast that'll follow it. I wanted to run a theory by you guys. First of all, thank you. And then I wanted to run a theory by you guys that my friend mentioned to me. He thinks the phone call Sharon, the power broker, made in the finale of Captain America and the Winter Soldier was Zha Ling. Ooh.
Mm.
Now leader of the Ten Rings. I'm not sure if the timeline lines up, but I'm pretty sure the events of both those shows happened generally around the same time. Either way, I think that would be a really sick pairing. Two massive underground criminal organizations being run together like that would be awesome. Not to mention, that would be a really interesting pairing on screen of those two characters. Anyway, just wanted to run that theory by someone, because to me, it's got pretty good evidence. Thanks for giving the great Marvel content and keep up the good work. Peace, love, Razor Fist. Mark.
I'm with you all the way to the Razor Fist, Mark. I love this. And if this doesn't happen, I'm going to be furious.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Well, I like in the comics, Val started like a Femme Fatal Five group. Like she had a group of women and Sharon Carter was one of them who worked under her as kind of like, not Black Widow assassins, but like Black Widow assassins. And it was an all female group. So I would love if they were starting to put this together. Like John Walker throws a boomerang in that with his penis. But other than that, he's
got, what?
Other than that, she's ganging and she's got women lined up.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Boomerang.
We could take that out.
The boomerang was a metaphor. I think it's cool. And it, like, I was on the show. I think I may have said it on the last episode of What If or something. But like, I think that the Ten Rings will continue. I think they're heading toward the Disney Plus show. And the things that we have coming, like the Power Broker, Zha Ling, Armor Wars, all of those things seem to me to be like underground organization working to gain power. And like, I think that it absolutely would make sense if those two could work together within that organization. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be neat. It's like a sort of Sinister Six or, you know, Injustice League or whatever, like a group
Femme Force Five.
Yeah. Femme Force Five. That works for me. Yelena, you'll get Yelena in there, you know?
It'd be a lot of powerful women in there.
Mm-hmm.
Trina Carpenter on Gmail says, hey, Jam, I'll try to keep this short. Can I marry Simu Liu and Mary Zhang, please? I mean, goddamn, this is why I'm bi. I need a drink anyway. Love this movie. It's in my top five Marvel favorites for sure. I love the fight scenes. They were amazing. Beautifully choreographed. The fight between Wenwu and Zhang was breathtaking and might be my new favorite MCU scene. Mm. Shang, please, roundhouse kick me to the face, Zaddy. LOL, bye. Trina, that was amazing.
Trina, thank you. You're coming in hot, and I like it.
I should have pre-read that. I wasn't prepared. I'm sweaty, girl.
Yeah, I have no problems with it. Marry whoever you like. if it's both of them, if they agree, then, you know.
He's now my Z daddy.
That's great. Thank you, Trina.
Great. Agree.
Agreed completely.
On all accounts.
All right. Sean Holt on Gmail says, hey, Ashley and Matt and Jeff. In parentheses, of course. I wanted to follow up and fill you in from my last email. My wife and I went and saw Shang-Chi, and we both loved it. She watched nothing before going, not even the All Hail the King one-shot.
Oh, this was the guy who asked us about what movies to watch beforehand.
Yes, yes, yes. But you were right that was the best strategy.
Nice.
Yay. These movies are self-contained, so it worked out perfectly. She didn't need to see anything else.
Nice. I feel happy about that. We did good.
Me too. I feel really good about that. Like, and we weren't really sure because we'd never seen this movie, but like, it seems like what they're doing right now in the MCU is they're rebuilding. So like, these are self-contained stories that are leading to more connected stories, but right now they're pretty self-contained. So I think it was a good time to jump in. It's a good jumping on point for the MCU.
We give good advice here.
Yeah.
Right in.
Now, 2 days after seeing it, we watched Doctor Strange 2. She does nice. Not like how I dive deep into everything, but still. She is a budding MCU fan. I couldn't be happier. Thanks again for the discussion on the podcast, and I'll keep listening. Sean Holt.
That's great.
Thank you, Sean. That satisfied customer.
Yeah. I feel like the thing we told them to watch was Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
If there was only going to be one.
Yeah, because it sort of introduces magic, and it's pretty self-contained itself, so that's, yeah
sweet. Good order.
Well, thanks,
we
Sean.
Did good.
Yeah, we did. I'm proud of us.
Right into the MCU cast, we can solve all your life problems.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing but good advice here. From people that have perfect lives with no problems.
I
meant to mention at the top of the show. Can't believe I forgot to mention it. All hail the king.
We got
a lot of feedback about All Hail the King. The short that was added this week to...
I'm going to let you take this because it makes me infuriated.
You were
so
annoyed.
You go ahead.
I was not annoyed.
I'm
going to
sit back.
It.
I know.
I get it. But I just wanted to let people know the reason we did not cover the All Hail the short... All Hail the King short this last week is because we didn't know it had dropped on Disney Plus because it came out 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So those
when it was thoroughly discussed.
Those of you who don't know, it came out. Actually, I think it was out before our show existed. But we have discussed it many times over the years. It was originally on the Iron Man 3 DVD. So it's been available on YouTube for a really long time. But it was not new content. So the reason we didn't discuss it is because it was not new content. We had seen it and discussed it many, many times. We actually did discuss it on a news episode 2 weeks ago because we were talking about how Ben Kingsley let it slip that he was in the movie. And we were like, oh, that's great. From All Hail the King.
Yes, we did.
So
yeah,
we have actually discussed it recently. But just
love you, iTunes review.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm letting you guys know about things. Check your calendars, baby. It's a couple years ago. What is it you think we do here?
We love you. We love you. And they gave us a 5-star review anyway, so I appreciated it. But yeah, we got a 5-star review that was like, how are you guys not talking about All Hail the King? I knew about it before you guys did.
I feel like I'm telling you guys information.
And we were like, because it came out 7 years ago. I'm sorry. Yeah. I honestly didn't know it had dropped on Disney Plus till after we recorded last week.
Yeah.
But
it was smart of them to do, but we
for
all,
sure.
That's some old stuff.
And so many people apparently hadn't seen it because we got a lot of, that we were picking on the person who wrote in.
Yeah. Now we know who the noobs are from the veterans. You had outed yourself.
But no, we definitely have talked about it many times and it is a freaking great short. I rewatched it.
Hilarious.
On the way to the theater. Like when I was sitting in the theater with the parking lot, and it's so freaking good.
Sir Ben Kingsley. Like the fact that we even got him in the MCU is amazing.
Crazy. And the fact that he's still in the MCU and now living in a mystical
just
village.
Having a good time.
Like what the heck? I love it. I love it so much.
Jithin Jacob on Gmail, that's fun to say, says, I am Groot. I just watched Shang-Chi and my first reaction was awesome, in the literal sense that I was in awe throughout. It gave me the same feelings when I watched Black Panther, except that this was even better. Ooh. The story was heartwarming, the visuals stunning, and the fight sequences worthy. They stayed true to the spirit of Chinese martial arts movies with the MCU twist, which I really appreciated. The story of family was just so beautiful. It is now my top 5 MCU movies, if not top 3. All in all, 5 out of 5. Keep feeding us bamboos, Jacob. I love all that.
I loved all that.
I've heard a lot of people say that, too, that this topped Black Panther for them.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think I'm still on the, yeah, both. I don't know. That's how I would have to watch them both back to back and then, cause, I love both of them.
I love it's both hard, of them. Though. The fight sequences in this are way better.
I'm like a huge Tony Jaa fan. Like I love martial arts movies.
Me too. Me too. And the fact that they're so real, like that's why I love the scaffolding scene and the bus scene, cause they just feel very real and visceral. I love the scenes in Black Panther and Ryan Coogler directed the hell out of those fight sequences. So freaking good when he's like going from one floor to the other, doing that one-er in the casino. It's amazing. But it is a little, it doesn't feel as, I don't feel as scared for the characters. It is not as visceral to me as some of the stuff in Shang-Chi.
I agree.
Just feels so real and fun. Ah, love it.
Love it.
Matthew Nace wrote us on Facebook and said, hey, Ashley and the gang, just saw Shang-Chi and had to give my good, the bad, and the ugly being mind-blowing. the good, this movie just flat-out shows why Marvel outdoes DC by miles. It is all about character building over story building. They took a character I knew nothing about and made me attached to him to the point that I want to see the sequel already. And they let the plot follow him, unlike the DC having it flipped around. I still don't know the actor's name, but sorry, buddy. You are now typecast as Shang-Chi until further notice. I won't understand how Shang-Chi is in other movies now. Also, the hand-to-hand combat was awesome. The bad. No explanation on the rings themselves. But I think they're saving that. So, I don't know. That's me talking. Sorry. I thought they were supposed to each control an element or something. But in the movie, they just seem it to be a version of the Power Stone that gave immortal life to the Mandarin. I can forgive this because the credit scene let us know they are the MacGuffin.
Yes.
Am I using that phrase right?
Yes. MacGuffin is my favorite term ever in movies. Dimed by Steven Spielberg and Indiana Jones, because the MacGuffin is the pivotal thing that drives a movie forward and is an object.
Yeah.
I love a MacGuffin.
MacGuffin. You gotta. But as for this movie, they weren't anything special. The ugly. Ben Kingsley!
So, Ben Kingsley.
I think he saved this movie for me. Hmm. I don't know much about Awkwafina, but her comic relief one-liners were wearing thin and not doing much for her character and starting to annoy me. But once Ben showed up, he took the role over perfectly and let her character build. I loved her by the end. Also, where was Doctor Strange at the credit scene? Ooh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think it says a lot that he is not there. Overall, great movie, and finally feel like we are back to normal on the MCU. Love all you all do. Matt. Sweet. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, that is interesting. It does say a lot that he's not there.
Yeah. A lot of talk has been had about what's going on with Doctor Strange, and does he seem off? Is something wrong? And like him not being there, maybe something is wrong.
Maybe he was looking for Wanda.
Yeah, that's true. He might be on a traversal through the multiverse at that moment. This may be during Multiverse of Madness, that scene.
Good point.
I don't know.
We're going to find out within the next 2 to 3 years.
As for the rings, yeah, I do think in comics, each ring controls an element of the universe. Like, you know, It's like a wind, water, fire, heart kind of thing. But I think
So it's like Captain Planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh.
It's, 10 is a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like 10. And I think there's like some jokes on the internet when you get into like, when you get toward the 10th, it starts to be a little thin, like what they're going for. Like it starts to be a little silly.
It's like no more commercials. 10th ring.
Yeah, exactly. No more commercials without paying Hulu the extra $2 or whatever. Ring. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. You put mustard on your sandwich or whatever.
Tenth like. Ring is helps get you out of traffic by destroying the car in front of you.
Yeah, just one.
I could get though. Behind that.
Yeah. So I don't know what the ten rings. In this, it just seems like they are a weapon of power. But it also seems that like Wen Wu didn't fully understand the rings, and also like when combined with the type of martial arts they were doing in Palo, it seemed like the rings had more power than mm-hmm. Wen Wu was using them.
It was the different intentions with the different styles of martial arts. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Or like, I intend to conquer the world, so I'm blue. Well, I'm intending to save it, so I'm yellow. How many other colors? And
right.
It's interesting.
And also, like, what can they unlock? What can those intentions or what can those goals unlock within the rings themselves? What is the purpose of the rings? What are they from? And there's a reason they didn't tell us more is because they're planning to not
gearing
tell us.
It up.
Yeah.
Don't forget, the MCU is just it's a long Jenga game right now. Mm-hmm. We're just plucking the pieces out.
You get what you get with a Marvel movie. Like sometimes people want the rest of the story. And I think they do a good job of teasing the rest of the story. But sometimes you're like, I want to know about the Ten Rings. But it's like, no, that's for later. Like right now, you just need to know who Shang-Chi is, who Katie
is. You just
see
what we're giving you. You just take this little bit, baby, and you
made you some content.
Daddy made you your favorite open wide.
We should just sing that on every episode. Make that the bumper at the end.
I love it. David Pavone on Gmail says, "Hey, y'all, my name is David, and I stumbled across your podcast during WandaVision. Since then, we've been avid listeners and love to hear your takes on anything and everything MCU related." Well, that's awesome.
Thanks.
"After coming out of Shang-Chi, my girlfriend had an amazing theory that I had to share with you guys. So in the mid-credit scenes, we learn that the rings are not of earthly or alien origin and are acting on some sort of beacon. What if the rings are actually an Eternals artifact? And that seems to line up with the possibilities that the rings were brought to Earth when the Eternals arrived. In addition, the Eternals is the next scheduled movie to be released, and this would be a nice way to connect them to what's already going on in the MCU. Love the work you all do and would love to hear your thoughts on this theory." Jeff would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
And so do I.
I think it's pretty likely. I think it's pretty likely this is a tie-in
to
the
Celestials. It's the same color. Mm. Like, even, like, the beacon. Like, I guess when he's controlling the rings, it is that yellowish color. But the beacon's also yellow. But the Eternals give off that yellow glow on their ship.
That's true. And like, when they're making stuff in the world, when they're, like, doing the little shiny space magic or whatever we called it. A couple of months ago.
Shiny, happy people. Yeah, it's crazy.
It does seem to, it is that color. And so it seems, interesting. Interesting.
I like it.
I think we're all just with you. I don't have any better ideas. The fact that they were like, it's an older magic or whatever, an older technology. I was like, yeah, it's gotta be the Celestials. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I don't know that we'll get like an answer to the rings and Eternals, but I think we might get more on the Celestials, and it might be the end credit sequence. We might find out like that's where this technology, we see more of it. It's the Eternals. They look similar. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Wong might connect the dots.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good point. I like it.
Our good friend Matthew Fox wrote us on Gmail from the Superhero Ethics Podcast. They say, "Hey friends, I would love to hear you talk about Talo in relation to Kunlun from Iron Fist." Why you gotta do this to me, Matthew? Why you gotta do this? I'm guessing.
I think you crushed that.
They're not the same place. Oh, no, I meant like, make me talk about Iron Fist. I'm guessing they're not the same place, but are they similar? Are there a number of realms like this? Was this the MCU doing Iron Fist, but better? Love the cast and would love to hear your thoughts. Matthew. Matthew, my good buddy, Iron Fist. Why you gotta bring Iron Fist into this?
They do sound like very similar realms.
Sure.
You know, it's peaceful, there's magic, there's dragons.
Yeah.
Do I think this is them doing Iron Fist but better? I feel like no. I feel like they'll do Iron Fist better when they try to like redo that. Like Iron Fist as a whole, I saw what they were trying to do. It didn't come off great, but
yeah,
you know, it ending with Colleen having it put it in a different like perspective, and it's a shame that we can't go off of that. But I feel like if they feel like that they failed so bad with that Netflix thing, that they wouldn't just replace a character that they got people to love. I mean, not you, Matt, but they got people to love Iron Fist. Or Colleen is just the, like knowing what it was.
I mean, I really enjoy the show in some places, and I really love the character of Colleen a lot. I think the second season has a lot of value, but in general, I don't think the show is well executed.
And that's why I don't blame the whole Danny Rand of it all, because he was great in that one episode of Luke Cage where he just popped up and helped him.
He was fine in that.
He was great. When they were using their powers together and like it all made sense. Yeah. That's what I was really enjoying.
I don't mind at all Danny Rand running around being Iron Fist and having fun. My problem with that whole show was his like motivations were always really weird and not like, I couldn't get on his side is why I didn't like that show.
Bad writing.
I never felt like I was on his side. He always just felt like a whiny, petulant, privileged, like demanding person instead of being like, whatever. I don't know. Didn't work for me. I think that, Matthew's point here is well taken. I think like, yeah, it's kind of like they did Iron Fist, but better, but these are two separate places in comics. The source material, there's two separate, I think these are two separate worlds completely. Actually, I don't know much about T'Challa in comics, or even if it's a thing in comics. I'm assuming it is, because the Great Protector I know is in comics. Mm-hmm. BBK could tell us. Write in, BBK. Let us know.
Jeff will probably tell us next time.
Yeah.
We'll ask him.
Yeah. Sorry, it's me and Ash are not the most comics knowledgeable of the crew. We're more the...
She's more than me. I have one big toe in, and that's about it. But yeah, I didn't read much about Shang-Chi.
Yeah, same.
Or T'Challa. Yeah. I very much like to go there, though.
Mm-hmm. So pretty. So pretty. I think they're both just kind of based on the same tropes, probably, if nothing else.
They did seem very similar.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually one thing I wanted to point out from someone mentioning it earlier. Something you see in a lot of kung fu movies is... especially the ones with the white protagonist, like the white savior protagonist trope. You get like an old wizened crazy person, the Yoda character. Like it's the I forget what they call it in like the Joseph Campbell of it all, or like the story circle way, but like you meet with like you have like an old guy that's sort of
your kooky. Master.
Yeah, and it's like it's the it's wax on, wax off. It's like all that stuff. It's the old master who's a little kooky, right? And I thought what was interesting about this is I think that was Ben Kingsley in this.
Yeah. Just knowing where to go and a mythical creature. So that was a little bit of a problem for me, that when we didn't know that a mythical creature from the land he was trying to find lived in his own house. That kind of like
think it necessarily that he didn't know.
Like, why would you have Chicken Pig there and not, like, torture Chicken Pig to take you to where you needed to go? Oh, I don't know. I just thought that was weird.
I thought he was in the jail because they captured him, I guess.
I don't know.
I thought they captured Chicken Pig.
They didn't explain it.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I thought they captured Chicken Pig, if you want to call him that, and put him in the cell with Kingsley, and Kingsley just like learned to talk to him because he was with him for so long. That's what that's the way I took it, but I, you know, I'm just headcanoning.
Well, I'm just saying, if you had something from that land, why wouldn't you be trying to use that thing all the time to take you back?
Well, he may have underestimated it, if that makes sense. Like, if he couldn't communicate with it, like Trevor learns to, then he may have never learned to
which
be like,
they don't explain.
Yeah. Well, it's a Groot thing, I'm guessing. Like a magical connection that over time he forges and can understand him. Oh, man. Okay, we only got a couple more things. Let me see here.
We have two. We're ready to go.
Yeah, let's do this last two. You want me to get this one? Or you got this? I can't remember who did it last. I can get this one. Todd Shepard on Gmail says, "Dear Ashley and company." Hey guys.
First time writer.
Hey guys, love the podcast. My name is Todd and first time, but not really that much of a long time listener. Anyways, I came across the show during WandaVision after a friend recommended you guys. Shout out to Brandon Beck. Well, hey, Brandon. Oh, okay.
That's how he knew how to address the email properly.
Oh, yeah. Probably so. And have been an avid listener ever since. My question is, did we just see our first mutant in the MCU during Shang-Chi? At the fight club in one of the lower fighting cells, one of the fighters was glowing orange. Thoughts? Just keep doing what you guys are doing. Actually, I know the guy you're talking about. I thought it was Extremis.
Yeah.
Did you not think that was Extremis? What did you think?
I don't know. I don't really think I paid attention to it too much. I just saw a guy with glowy arms.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I thought it was Extremis. And there's a number of people in those fighting rooms that look like they have some sort of abilities. I thought I even maybe seen a Skrull in there, maybe. It's been a few days.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A Skrull, yeah. Oh, I hope so. I mean, it's time.
It is time. I would not be surprised if they had thrown a X-Men or a Mutants Easter egg in that room, but I don't think that was it. I thought that was an Extremis Easter egg. Especially
that's
since
cool.
Apparently this, whoever wrote this movie has an affection for Iron Man 3.
Ah. That's a...
As they should, right, Ashley?
As they should. Oh, so good. Oh, Christmas. I trust Feige to bring them in when it's time in the right way.
Me too. And I don't know if the right way is like small things like that or a big, like, it kind of depends on what they're going to do. Are they going to be from another universe or are they going to be in this one?
Yeah, leaving little breadcrumbs all over is a good way to do it. If you're going to have them be in our universe, if not, you can kind of do anything you want to do.
And the truth is, it doesn't matter as long as you make their characters right.
Yeah.
You know?
Make them right. Take all the time you need.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Don't rush it. Take the time you need. Make the characters deep characters that we can like connect with. And I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. You'll be fine, Feige. We have your back. But just be careful with how you make Galactus. Oh, my God. Because you know that's what we're building up for. Like, everything is just this buildup, I feel like, for Galactus.
Eventually.
I really do.
I'll hit this last one. Let's see. Jonathan Kim on Gmail says, MCU cast team, this movie was amazing. Shang-Chi was a great origin story and a great entry into Phase 4 and just making the audience wanting more MCU at the end. I love how Marvel did an amazing job on the attention to detail, the CGI, the fight choreography, and tie-ins into the culture. They definitely portrayed the Asian culture correctly instead of bunch of stereotypes, Asian jokes. First thing I noticed was use of the language. They used it whenever possible, but the change in the use of the language through generation, they got it right. You can see it within Katie's family. The grandma spoke Mandarin. Mother spoke Mandarin, but also spoke English so the kids can understand. And Katie and her brother spoke English and understood the language, but had a hard time following at times. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Shang-Chi, technically an immigrant, shows respect and spoke to the elders in Mandarin and with respect until they started to speak in English, and then he switched over. Another thing I noticed was the fight choreography. It had the Jackie Chan film feel to it, as well as some of the Crouching Tiger touch to it as well. Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the movie dedicated the movie to Brad Alan, who is supervising stunt coordinator, and his influence is shown in the movie. He was part of Jackie Chan's stunt team, and he choreographed numerous amazing fight scenes in various movies such as Kingsman films, Scott Pilgrim, Wonder Woman, and Kick-Ass. There are more cultural ties like the mythical creatures and such, but I'll leave it at that. Can't wait to listen to everyone's feedback and discuss more on this amazing film. Love you 3000, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan.
That was good feedback.
Yeah, it was. It's neat to hear people talk about sort of the immigrant story and how they got that right. And I just the sort of subtleties of the different, you know, when a lesser writer writes a movie, they write every character sounding like themselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh yeah.
Like you could see how a person writing this story be like, I am from this culture and I'm going to write these characters. And then all the characters kind of have the same mix of Mandarin and English that they like, you know, go back and forth themselves. But like the writer and director was thoughtful about making sure the characters were more like a grandmother would be and more like a mother would be. And that's really cool.
Yeah. It was great. 5 stars all around. Good job, Marvel.
Good job, Marvel. I'm surprised we hadn't mentioned Crouching Tiger before now, because the fighting style that went on in Kunlun was much more Crouching Tiger, from a
Talo.
Gosh. Yep. There I go. Matthew was right. But no, Talo, the fighting that happened in Talo was much more similar to the Crouching Tiger style, at least in the way it was filmed, and the sort of stunt, the wire usage and stuff.
I feel like this movie gave, accolades to Kung Fu and all the movies that came before them that really laid the bricks to having this movie be made, because like everybody loved Jackie Chan movies and everybody's seen them. And then Crouching Tiger and Hidden Dragon won the Oscar. Like that movie came out of nowhere and everybody loved it. And then you have movies that follow that, like Hero and tons of other movies. And it was just really nice to see them playing homage, you know, or it was nice to see them showing homage to the movies that came before and the styles that, mm-hmm. Really made film scene for the, you know, Asian actors and people who really deserve to be spotlighted for their, like, what they can do. And it was nice to just see all of that in there, because a lot of us just love those movies. And I don't think that they get as much appreciation as they should.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's the highest form of fight choreography, I think.
People really need to open up their minds and start watching movies with subtitles, because it will really open your world to a completely different universe of amazing movies that you might never have thought to watch because you were worried about the subtitles. Like, don't worry about it. Just watch the movies.
But Ashley, you saw how bad of a reader I am.
It's okay. You'll be fine. I think you did great. We're all getting better.
I'm just teasing. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Like, Jeff has always been our reader, and sometimes when he's not here, me and Ash pick up the slack, and so we're like, all right, we're learning to read out loud. I've never read out loud in my life for any reason, and the few times I've had to have been very embarrassing.
No, we crushed it tonight.
Crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. All right, well, that's it, I guess.
We did good.
You did great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I am super excited to talk to you guys this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with our What If episode. Actually, this will probably come out after that, because this week's feed is packed as hail.
Busy week. Busy, and I love it.
Busy week. We'll be back soon. If you want to, a couple things, patreon.com/MCUcast, if you want to support the show, and if you want to support the whole network, one of the best ways you can do that right now is go to strandedpanda.com/contest. We're doing a thing where if you give a 5-star review to any of this, eligible Stranded Panda shows, you get you are entered in to win a, Oculus Quest 2 or a Nintendo Switch. So just go give, there's 9 shows. Just go give them all 5-star reviews. And if you don't know the show, you can just be like, I love the Stranded Panda Network, and I want to hear more from these guys. That's
every
all you gotta
review
say.
Is another entry.
That's right. So you get 9 entries. And like, I was like, I think I said it on another episode, but like, there were only like 100 when I looked last. So like, it's just like really good odds for a free entry to a contest. So like,
may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah. All right. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.